Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Oh my God, just introduce the show.
I don't know, you're beside yourself.
I'm just exhausted. I'm exhausted.
I must admit, I have never seen you look quite this tired.
I am.
Ever.
Exhausted. I just can't even. I'm so exhausted that, like, it's like the synapses of my brain aren't firing. I'm so exhausted. And it's. Okay. So. For those of you who haven't yet been brought up to speed, I have 2 babies.
Oh, look what fell here! Where the hell did that come?
I'm gonna presume that maybe you've seen People magazine at some point, or maybe you have listened to previous segments we've done about this. Wow. This is, now I know why they take a day out of the year and just give it to moms. I don't know, how are you bitches doing this? All of you out there, I'm serious. All of you out there that have kids, how are you doing it?
The first thing I really want to do is say that I regret not being able to share the inception, pregnancy process, and birth of my son with you guys. It was a really hard thing to keep private, but because, number one, it was not my pregnancy, it was my partner's pregnancy, and she felt very strongly about not being pregnant in the public eye. And we have also been very covetous of our relationship, because when you do make things public, you subject yourself to public criticism.
Certainly.
And so it's something that we had chosen not to do for all those reasons. But now I don't know how to explain the materialization of a newborn. And I never want my son to think that I talked about my daughter and I was excited about her, but I didn't talk about him. Nor do I want my kids to think that I didn't talk about my relationship with their other parent. So it's come time to share this advice.
You've got a lot of explaining to do, Lucy.
Well, so let me give it to you in a nutshell, since obviously I like to talk to you guys about things that are going on in my life, because whatever I'm talking about, whatever I'm sharing about, is whatever I'm living and working on personally in the moment. And I am personally working on adjusting to parenthood. So how this all happened, it's kind of a hilarious story, was several years ago, I began the adoption process. And I shared that and I thought it was such a good idea at the time because I wanted to share it with you guys, but sharing it with your audience is very different than sharing that story with the media, which I came to learn at a later date. So I wanted everyone to know that I didn't, you know, I went through everything that other parents went through. You know, a celebrity adopts a kid and everyone goes, oh, they just got that kid. They didn't go through the necessary steps. And I wanted people to know, like, I'm doing this like everybody else. I'm going through all the struggles that everybody else is going through. I wanted it to be something I could share and talk about. But then you open it up to the media and you start to open it up to criticism and it starts to become like, oh, is she adopting this kid for press? It starts to look bad. So I regretted doing that with the adoption, even though I wanted to share it with you guys, which is another reason we didn't do it with the pregnancy. So 2 years ago, I began the adoption process. And about a year and a half into the process, actually, I should start farther back. Sorry. About 3.5 years ago, I began dating my partner, Heidi. And we just had a very easygoing, comfortable, like no pressure kind of relationship. And a year or so into our relationship, I had decided I wanted to adopt. I was 37 and – or 36 maybe. I was 36. Holy God. I was 36.
Go ahead
and
admit
it. And I was 29, 30 at the time. So she was very supportive of me. And I began the adoption process. To make a long story short, you know, because I've shared it, that it was very hard going. It was a tough thing. And it took at least a year – just to get the home study done and what we call your dossier, all your paperwork that you submit to the country you're adopting from. It took like 9 months. I got that paperwork in and then you wait for a referral. So I was originally adopting from Africa and Heidi was originally just supporting me as the person I was dating. And Africa went nowhere, did not get a referral. So at this point now, a year and a half has gone by. And my paperwork is starting to expire. I'm having to go get re-fingerprinted by the FBI and all of this stuff. And now Heidi and I have been dating about 2.5 years. And Heidi says to me, you know what, sweetie, I'm 30 now. I'm going to be 31. Why don't I just try to get pregnant? So it's kind of funny. Most people adopt because they can't get pregnant. She's like, I'm going to get pregnant because you're having such a hard time adopting. So I said, okay, babe, you know what? I support you. Whatever happens first is going to be the way that this is meant to be. Go ahead.
Yeah, laugh. So, laugh, bitch.
No, I just, it's
laugh
an,
like my mother
it's
laugh.
An internal joy.
Get it all out.
So Heidi starts trying to get pregnant, and it was a process like everything else. To make a long story short, simultaneously, I had found out that Haiti was now open to international adoption again. So I had switched all my paperwork over to Haiti, and I get a phone call one day. And Heidi's now been trying to get pregnant for about 5 months, and I get a phone call one day. Wow, we have a referral for you. We have a referral, which means you've been matched with the child. There's a little more to this, but I could go on and on. But I was like, oh my God, a year and a half matched with a child? This is unbelievable. This is great. I come home and I tell Heidi, matched with a child. This is awesome. And that woman comes downstairs less than 24 hours later the next morning and goes, by the way, I'm pregnant. So we had some decisions to make. And in looking at, you know, I'm kind of a believer in allowing the universe to flow in the way that it's meant to. And I just thought, you know, it wouldn't happen like this if it wasn't meant to happen like this. Certainly. She's been trying to get pregnant for 5 months. I've been trying to adopt for a year and a half. And within 24 hours, we have two kids. And I just sort of thought it's meant to be this way. And then, to make a long story short, my son was born. Little sucker was in there for 41 weeks. I don't know where this nine-month thing comes from. What a crock of crap. It is not 9 months. It's 10 months. 10 lunar months. Of pregnancy.
He just wanted to be ready.
He's cooking in there.
He's cooking.
So 10 months later, my son is born. And the exact same week that he was born, my daughter got her visa and her exit letter and was ready to come home. So yeah. That's what happened.
I'm so ashamed of the advice that I have given mothers in the past because you can't fathom it until you're just in it. You just can't fathom it. I mean, you can't, like, there's no time to get chapstick out of your bag, because if you turn, like, I turned my back for a second, and when I turned around, there was spaghetti in her hair. I mean, because I just, I'm like, she's in her high chair, right? Like, what could go wrong? She's like, she's locked into the high chair, and she's two, so I'm trying to, like, build her confidence, and she's starting to kind of feed herself, and she gets pissed when I try to feed her, because she's like, no, I'm two. I want to feed myself, right? So I'm like, all right, you know, go ahead. You do. I turn around, and there's spaghetti on the floor. There's spaghetti in her hair. There's spaghetti everywhere. And I mean, you do everything you can. I've locked her into the high chair with a tray, with a bib. It's just, you can't, I mean, you don't have time to answer emails. I don't respond to texts. You just can't. You can't. And I don't know if it's like, she's too young. First of all, she just came home, obviously. I'm not going to put her in school just yet. So that's not happening. And luckily, the newborn sleeps a lot. But the two-year-old is into everything all the time. And because she's adopted, you know, you need to be there. You need to be bonding with her. You can't just turn her over. It's not like you can just turn her over. I mean, Heidi's sister is our nanny. And that's great because she's, you know, her aunt is her nanny and that goes well. And it's like, it's gotten to this point now where I can leave for a little while and come home. But I'm not even making sense. I don't even know what this segment is about.
Well, I think what the segment is about is that you've just, reality has come down very hard on you.
In a very quick way.
And a lot, like, not only
I've done everything I said I wouldn't do except go through a drive-thru. I mean, I've pacified my daughter with food. Like, when we were on a plane coming home, a six-hour ride, and we were going through takeoff, I was like, we went through, like, three fruit leathers and and, like, a thing of little vanilla baby cookies. And, I mean, I've gotten in the shower with her, which I said I would never do, right? I was like, no. There are boundaries. No. And I can't, because she's so attached to me, like I can't, it's been forever since I can sort of step, because she's afraid that I'm not going to come back when she doesn't see me. I'm in the shower with a two-year-old. I said I would never bring the kid into my bed. I'm like, no. This is our bed. This is your bed. I every night she's like hands crossed behind her head looking at me, self-satisfied, like, yo, what's up? How you doing? What's up? What are we watching on TV tonight? She's got more energy. She's got more energy than me. She's smarter than me. I don't understand how are these mothers doing this? I'm a shell of a human. Somebody explain how this happens. There's 7 billion of us on the planet. That means 7 billion women. Well, I don't know if they have multiple kids, but that means billions of women have managed to do this job. How are they doing it?
I don't. My sister had four children, and she's 2 years older than me, and I marvel to this day. I look at her and I go, I
don't know
how. No idea.
I don't know how she's doing. I mean, it's
because I'm busy. I'm busy. I got a border collie cross puppy, and I got an old spaniel. I'm busy.
Yeah.
Okay? So
yeah.
Tell me.
Oh my God.
Tell me your problems.
It's just the part that kills me though is like I always had these ideas of what I was going to do. You know, you think to yourself about what you're going to do and how you're going to parent and how it's going to be and how it's going to go. And let me tell you, best laid plans. Oh, yeah. Everything you think is going to happen or that you anticipate will go down, none of it ends up playing out the way you thought it would. And you're just sort of along for the ride. And you're so tired that you don't even care to fight it.
Well, you're in such a state right now of overwhelm. I mean, let's face it. You're complete. I mean, your whole household, everything has changed for you.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, you haven't had a chance to even absorb stuff. You know what I mean? To sit back and go, okay, what's going on?
Oh, my God. And I've got help. I mean, like, not to sound like a complete a-hole, but, like, I have help. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have assistants that help me live my life. And Heidi is stay at home and I've got a nanny and I still am because you're in, let me tell you what else is the worst thing ever. Sorry for rambling. I honestly don't even know what I'm talking about right now, but the minute these kids are born, like the worst kind of stuff starts happening to them. Like, my son comes out and they're like, they give him a shot of this, a shot. I don't even remember what the hell it was. He got a shot of something. And then they're, you know, the poor guy gets circumcised and then they're jabbing him in the leg and they're taking blood. And like, try holding a 2-year-old down when they're trying to find a vein, you know, or giving her 4 shots and she's screaming bloody murder. It was, I'm crying. This is the hardest job on the planet. I don't know how these women do this. I'm serious. Like, not only are you physically exhausted and you're screwing everything up. Everything. You're just having to learn. It's like you screw stuff up and it's like you know, the other day I was walking around with my daughter and I was so tired and I couldn't find a bathroom to change her, right? So I'm just changing her in the park. And I'm changing her on my sweatshirt on the grass. And I'm like, if she pees on it, she pees on it. Right. I just don't care anymore. So.
Oh, you're one of those.
I've become food drops on the ground. I'm like, screw it. Give it back to her. I'm just like, whatever. 4-second rule. I mean, like, it's that bad. She's like, you know, so I'm trying to wrestle her down because she wants to play, but I've got to change her diaper. So a couple hours later, we're just going about our business. And this mom comes up to me and she goes like this. Hey, girl. I'm like, hi. And she's like, the baby shoes are on the wrong feet. I'm exhausted. And I look at my daughter, who looks like she's wearing clown shoes. And she looks at me like, hey, a-hole, I've been trying to tell you. I mean, it's like that. You just, it's the hardest job. And like,
hey, if that's the worst thing
you've
done.
Oh, no, it's not. Oh, no, trust me. No, it's not. It is not. And I don't even want to tell you because I don't need it. It's not the worst thing that's happened. It's just, you know, but like, you find a way. But all I'm saying is, like, I don't know how you ladies are doing it. I'm just, good for you. Holy mother of God. And you deserve, I eat like an animal. Seriously, like, I never sit down and have a meal because I'm trying to, like, eat in between. You know what I'm saying? Like, you try to feed the baby and then there's the newborn and it's just chaos. It's complete chaos. So
I did notice when you were eating, when we were having
like
our little
animal.
Lunch break, I did notice it was quite gorilla-like
how you were eating. Like an animal.
I didn't say anything. I just quietly ate my tuna sandwich, but I did notice. I thought, oh, sweet Lord, she's turned into a gorilla.
I think, really? This whole segment is just me trying to say to like every mother out there, like, hats off. Holy crap.
Look at you. I'm so sorry.
I'm just, because you try to give advice. I don't know how you could possibly. I mean, it's just, at least in the beginning, like, I know it's going to get easier when they both fall into a routine and it's a little harder with the 2-year-old because I'm not familiar with what she can and can't do. And, you know, she's afraid of everything because everything's new.
Sure.
She's got culture shock and she's like afraid I'm going to leave and all this stuff. But, you know, when she gets in school, and I think there'll be, you know, a rhythm when I can sort of separate just enough to function. But I got to just say, damn, bitches, I'm impressed. I'm going to reformulate all my advice. The one thing, though, that I have managed to stand by and I'm super proud is I don't feed them crap. I've yet to cave to that. I've not fed them crap, and I haven't had to. So there are solutions, and we'll do a whole segment on that at a later date, but, like, I haven't had to do that. Like, I can give my daughter, I found this stuff called, I'll give you a hint, just a teaser, but, like, I found this stuff called chocolate macro greens, because she wouldn't eat her vegetables, and I take it with some coconut milk and a banana, and I blend it up for her, and it's like kid crack. She loves it, and I am in my mind, I'm like this, sucker. That's what I think. I'm like this, you little shit, I gotcha. You think it's a shake, but it's not.
One
I gotcha.
Of these things is not like.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm like this, gotcha.
Oh, that's
so
very funny. Well, very cool. Very cool.
Oh, my
very,
God.
Very cool to see the changes in you.
No, it's not cool. It's not cool, Janice.
I look forward to many more.
Uh-huh.
Of these.
Yeah. I'm going to come and cry.
Types of apologies
time.
To the
yeah.
public.
That's what it is. I don't even know.
More groveling.
Yeah, that's
what
I don't even know how. Why would you people even ask me for advice, you fools?
I think we should just change the name of the show to the grovel.
Yeah.
The grovel.
I can't even believe you people would ask me for advice.
I mean,
seriously, how do I find the time? I have no damn idea. I don't have a clue. You've been at this longer than me. How do you find the time? All right, I'm ready to do something on something.
Okay, we'll do
something. But you're going to have to think of it because...
No, I'll help you. We'll do something on something when we come back after something. Some time.
Okay.
Very short time.
I'm going to take a nap in the corner.
No, you're not.
Or watch me.
I've all seen the man at the liquor store begging for your chain. The hair on his face is dirty, dreadlocked in for the main. He asked a man for what he could spare with shame in his eyes.
Okay, see, now it's just... You've done that. You've done your apology to the mothers of the world, and
holy
now
crap.
let's have a little.
I'll try.
It's all good. It's all good. This is all a positive thing.
Oh God. Okay. I thought that we would talk about good habits gone bad.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh? A little too much of a good thing is a bad thing. Does that make... Am I even making sense?
Well,
Let me just do the segment. You tell me.
Sometimes people think their good habits are good habits when they're really not good habits.
Well, they're good habits, but if you do them too much, they become dangerous. Or not dangerous, but indication that something could be wrong or they could be counterproductive.
Okay.
So, for example, you know, I'm always talking about proper hydration and that when you're properly hydrated, you burn more fat. And, of course, you flush out toxins. It's better for your skin. It's better for your energy level, all of those things. But one thing we've never talked about is drinking too much water. If you're drinking too much water, what happens is it can dilute the concentration of sodium and other electrolytes in your body. And that's bad. And it can cause dizziness, confusion, and it can go as far as to cause things like seizures or cardiac issues. And believe it or not, I've actually seen this happen to a trainer at a gym. It was years and years and years ago. But he was behind the front desk and all of a sudden he just had a seizure and like blacked out and smashed his face into the counter. And everybody was in a panic, and it turns out that, like, he had hyponatremia, which is when you drink too much water. And I'm sure you're thinking, like, wow, great, you know, how am I supposed to know? Honestly, it's if you're experiencing any of those conditions that I just mentioned, and you're peeing every half an hour, that's when you know you're drinking too much water. And, you know, and I've talked about how you know when you're not drinking enough. When your pee is dark, like apple juice, you're not hydrated.
Right.
You want it light, like lemonade. If it's coming out of you, like water, literally, and if you're working out and you don't taste any sweat on your face, too much water. Or I'm sorry, sweat. Holy mother.
Salt.
Thank you. Too much water. So here's the other thing. You know, real common sense. So we talked about the color of your urine and so on and so forth. But if you're thinking, well, I'm exercising a lot, I need to be hydrated, then here's a great solution. Drink something that has electrolytes in it so that you're not flushing them out of the body. So like coconut water is a great option. And if you're, you know, a marathon runner, a triathlete, then it's okay for you to have, you know, those sugary, salty drinks if you're super fit and exercising a lot. I personally don't like them. And if you do me a favor and get something like G2 Natural, like the Gatorade makes that natural one. It's called G2 Natural because Gatorade's like artificial. Every artificial color, artificial bleh, it's crapola. But if I think the G2 Natural one at least doesn't have the artificial coloring and everything. If you're an athlete, then you can go with the sugar and the salt. If you're not, but you're just exercising a lot, go with the coconut water. That's a great option. And that's it on the water one. Moving on, exercising to extremes. You know, a lot of times when we are making these life changes or we're giving up one coping mechanism for another, whether it's alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, food, you name it. Sometimes we can get addicted to exercise and we can become obsessive compulsive about it. And, you know, I've had callers on the show where I go to the gym 2 hours a day, 7 days a week, and, you know, they're fit. And the issue with this is that you can get injuries, stress fractures, muscle strains, all kinds of stuff. And the reality is that it's also an anxiety disorder. It's a matter of control. So it's not good for your health mentally, and it's not good for your health physically. If you're noticing that you've got this issue where it's like, oh, I have to work out for 2 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're overtraining, and you're experiencing, a lot of times when I talk to people like this, they experience a decrease in their performance ability. Mm-hmm. You know, they're tired, they can't lift as much, they can't run as fast. That's a pretty good sign that you're overdoing it. If you're extremely fit, and you're trained, like I said, you're training for some sort of aggressive, a marathon, a this, a that. You better be eating. You better be matching those calories to the amount of exercise. Because if you're under eating, but you're working out so hard, then you're going to start metabolizing your own muscle, cannibalizing your body. So if you've got to, if you're a professional athlete, right, then you eat accordingly. You match the calories into the calories out, and that's how you maintain. But most of us aren't. So honestly, if you're trying to lose weight, an hour a day, 5 to 6 times a week is a good number. That's a good number. I can take weight off people in 30 minutes a day, and I do it with Body Revolution and get amazing results in conjunction with a great diet. So, no, I don't think anyone needs to work out more than an hour a day, 6 days a week. That's really where I draw the line. And on Loser, even though it looked like it was chaos, they were moving for 6 to 8 hours, but they weren't aggressively training for 6 to 8 hours. They were, you know, walking around the ranch, doing a little bit of rowing, a little bit of elliptical, and I would break it up throughout the day and all this stuff. Like, it's not, that's not good. You get it. Too much of a, yeah, no. And by the way, that's for people that are morbidly obese. It's different when you're not morbidly obese. Last but not least, we always talk about how important sleep is. And it's great for metabolism. It's great for your body's ability to boost immunity and to regenerate cells, energize. But too much sleep is actually a bad thing. And in fact, oversleeping, when we're talking about like 10 to 12 hours a day, has actually been linked to obesity. And there's something that you need to check out, because if you are oversleeping like that, it indicates possibility of medical issues like heart disease or diabetes or sleep apnea. So if that's happening to you, you should probably see a sleep specialist and see if you can get a correct diagnosis on why it's going on, so you can be...
That's becoming a big thing, you know, about... sleep disorders.
Oh, yeah.
Like the amount of people with sleep apnea and the amount of people that have to go to these sleep clinics to figure out what the hell's going on.
I know it.
Like, that never, 10 years ago?
Well, I think, look at me. I don't have any evidence or any knowledge based on why this is happening, other than to say, with 2/3 of us obese, you've got the sleep apnea problem, which is having the excess weight, you know, on the neck, on the chest, and all of that, which is causing the sleep apnea. And keeping people up. They actually stop breathing throughout the night. But I also think that, you know, with all the crap in the food, you've got, we call it excitotoxins, things that stimulate the brain and in various ways. And we're on the cell and we're on the computer and we're stressed out. There's just so many different things going on that I think there's various issues. And of course, health related issues like what we just talked about. And by the way, you could be depressed. That could be happening. You know, it's a really good sign of depression when you just are like not getting out of bed, which isn't good either. So if you're finding that you're sleeping, you know, 10 to 12 hours a night, you really should see a sleep specialist or talk to somebody, because it's an indication that there could be other things going on and it's counterproductive to your health. There. All right. Did I manage to get through that one coherently?
I thought that was very interesting.
Was any of that at all understandable?
Yep.
I feel like I'm in slow motion. Seriously.
No, you're good. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. But we're going to do some more. We're going to do some more of the
I'm
show
ready.
Still. We're not done yet.
Of course not.
So let's take a little, we'll take a little water break.
Okay.
And toot toot, we'll be right back.
Okay, bye.
No,
oh, not bye.
Not bye.
We'll be right back.
No, not bye.
Okay, bye. Bye, we're
<Don't>
back.
Oh my God. No, stop
I'll
talking.
I'll be right back.
Stop talking.
Will someone please call the surgeon who can crack my ribs and
Okay, here's my next one.
Okay.
You ready? How do you pick the perfect gym? Although this is probably a January segment, we're going to do it now because this is what I prepared.
No, that's cool. That's cool. I mean, there's no, sometimes you're limited in whatever town you're in. You don't have a lot of choice.
That's true. I agree. If you're limited, obviously, then, you know, you take what you can get. But if you're living in a metropolis and you're trying to make some decisions... Because, you know, in a city like Los Angeles, you've got a million different options.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but in a city like Sugar Ditch, you don't.
Sugar Ditch?
Remember from The Help?
It was called Sugar Ditch?
The guy was from Sugar Ditch? I don't know. I just remember.
Where did you come up with? No,
I didn't come up with it. But anyway, when you live in a small town, you've got like your local Y or whatever.
Yes, and then you're right. Then you take what you can get. But with that said, if that's not the case and you're looking for the right facility, because you live in a bigger city. Yeah. These are the things you want to be mindful of. The first one is the location to your home or your work, you know, whichever you're going to be going from, whether it's the house or work. You want it to be within 30 minutes. If it's not within 30 minutes, you're not going to go. And I got to be honest with you, like when I stay at the beach, there's no gym within 30 minutes and I don't go. I end up working out at home and I don't get as good of a workout because for me, I need to be in a more sort of social environment because it makes me competitive.
Well, so, but it's true. It's hard to be motivated in a home workout.
It's so tough. It's like there's just nothing. But when I stay in the city, there's a gym 5 minutes away from me and I go all the time. But I'm like, oh, my God, I got to get in and drive all the way over and then take the... So it's like try to pick a facility that's within 30 minutes of you. Because it's going to make you way more prone to go. And if it's not close to your house, maybe it's close to your work. Just a place where you're coming and going often throughout your day. Make sure there's a gym within 30 minutes of you. The next one is, this is really important. You really got to check the cleanliness of the facility.
Because
I can't even tell you. I mean, you can pick up all kinds of gunk at the gym. We've talked about MRSA before, methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, which is staph infections that are resistant to antibiotics. You've heard of, like, the flesh-eating bacteria. That's it. Fungus from the showers. And you name it, you'll get it at a gym. People are sweating and snotting and naked and all kinds of crap. So really check the cleanliness of the facility. If it's not clean or it stinks or it's like the pieces of equipment, there's not someone regularly wiping them down, the locker room's not clean, there's mold in the tile or whatever, I'm sorry, don't go. Pick a new place because, quite honestly, you're putting your health at risk. And as anal and ridiculous as that sounds...
That ain't anal.
No. Yeah, I mean, you don't know. Yeah. You don't want to mess with that. Yeah, I know people that have gotten all kinds of dangerous stuff from the gym, including MRSA, so... Make sure it's a clean facility. And the next one that I want you to think about are the hours. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you know, some of us work crazy hours and we need a 24-hour facility.
Yeah, it's nice when they're open till at least 10.
Check the hours and make sure that they're conducive to your schedule. And now the other thing I want you to check is the class schedule. Make sure that when you look at their classes, make sure they offer classes. Because you might really want those. And spending money on classes, even though I'm an investor in Flywheel, like I have the money to spend on classes outside of my gym membership. So like I'll go to a yoga class at Yoga Works. I will go to a spin class at Flywheel and I love it. And that's great. And it's a tremendous luxury. But for a lot of people, it's exactly that, a tremendous luxury. But if you have a gym membership, a lot of times they're going to offer classes to you. So make sure that they've got the classes you want and that the class schedule is also conducive to your schedule. And the next thing I want you to look out for is the friendliness of the staff. And you might not think about this when you're signing up, but it's a big deal. And oh my God, I'll never forget. On season 4 of The Biggest Loser, I had a membership to Equinox. And I went in and I brought my little contestants and I paid the gym fee. It was $25 a person. And I said, you know, so you can take classes and you can go on the cardio equipment, you know, because I had called ahead. This wasn't with my contestants there. I called ahead and they were like, yeah, if you bring a guest, you know, you can't train anybody. And I was like, no problem. Because like we were just spending the day working out. You know, I was taking them off campus. So we took like a yoga class and we were on the cardio equipment together after that. And they threw us out of the gym. And they're like, sorry, you know, you can't train people. I'm like, I'm clearly not training them. We're on the cardio equipment together. And then the manager who threw us out of the gym was like, was bragging to me about all the people he'd thrown out of the gym before. I'll never forget. I was like, he goes, you know, I threw Paris Hilton out of here last week. This is how long ago season 4 was. And I was like, wow, you are a grade A-hole. Like, you're serious right now? Like, you're bragging about who you throw out of your facility? And it's like they didn't want my contestants in Equinox because they didn't match the look of the facility. Whereas Crunch, like Bob teaches at Crunch. He's always taught classes at Crunch and he continues to do so. They comp the contestants. They let them do whatever they want. So does 24 Hour. You know, 24 Hour was a sponsor of Biggest Loser. And like the trainers are helpful. They come over and they offer advice and they show you how to use the equipment and there's no attitude. Pick a facility that doesn't have attitude, where the staff is helpful and they're passionate about what they do. Because although you think it might be the cool place to work out, when you're getting attitude, when you walk in the door, when you walk out of the door, it's like it's no fun. Let me tell you, it sucks.
It's awful.
It sucks. So with that said, really check and see how's the general manager? How is the training staff there? Even if you're not training with them, you know, what are the people like? Do they make you feel welcome when you mm-hmm. walk in the door? That's a big deal. Another one is how much cardio equipment do they have? Because even though I tell you, like, you don't need to get on the cardio equipment if you're working out the way I'd like you to, which mm-hmm. is, you know, doing your strength training in a in an aerobic fashion from one exercise to the next with body weight training in a very three-dimensional and functional way. With that said, there are times when I'm just like, I don't have this today. I'm getting on the Stairmaster. You know what I mean? There are days you don't want to think about it. There are days you don't want to push yourself and do your, you know, your push-ups and your pull-ups and all that crap. You just want to get your burn on and you just want to do cardio. Make sure there's enough machines. Because if the gym has limited cardio and you're like, you're there after work and you're like, son of a bitch, I'm waiting 30 minutes for a treadmill.
And you're signed up on the little whiteboard.
That's going to suck.
Come on, Mary. Hello.
Yeah. So, okay, last tip on this. Ready? Okay. Make sure the equipment is new. I mean, it doesn't need to be. I'm not looking for like state of the art, but I'm saying like it's got to be relatively new. Make sure there's free motion pieces. Make sure that the equipment they have is not like dated from, you know, the 80s. You know what I'm saying?
You get that in those like those beefcake gyms. You know, you know, sometimes you just need a workout and you go to one of those, you pay. And like they got really old, ugly equipment.
It's just, first of all, it's not functional.
Yeah.
Not only that, it's like, okay, a friend of mine went to one of those gyms and had a pair of dumbbells. And they were like the big metal dumbbells, you know, back in the day where the paint chips off or whatever, where it's like the metal coating chips off. And he was doing chest press and clinged to the dumbbells and got the piece of metal in his eye.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? It's like you need just make sure they've got some good equipment there. I don't want you on some janky elliptical from, you know.
Janky?
That's your word, isn't it?
No, it's not my
word. You say janky.
I've never heard you say that
before. Because I don't say janky. I think you say it.
Oh, God.
I think this is your fault.
I have one to add to this about picking the right gym.
Okay.
Parking.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know what a piss off that is? When you make the effort, you get your bag ready to go, and there's like, it's either like an outdoor lot, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and I have turned around, I went, piss on it. I get so frustrated when I can't.
Yeah.
If you make the effort to go, you should be able to park your vehicle and go. Otherwise.
I see. Well, it is a gym, though. You don't think you can park like a block away and walk to gym.
Not in Sugar Ditch. Not in some towns. I'm just saying. Make sure they've got some parking. Would you just throw me a bone once in a while? Throw me one small bone. I thought that was a nice little tip.
I don't know. Let's take a vote on it. Jake, Brittany, what do you think?
I think the ultimate ironic thing is that people want to park close to the gym.
Yeah, see,
and
Janice.
Not walk to the gym.
See, Janice.
I'm sorry, Janice.
Crappy tip. What's next?
We're going to take some calls.
All right, fine.
Take some calls.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Well, let's go.
Okay. Okay, we are back, and Carrie is waiting to talk to you.
Oh, right. Carrie, what's going on?
Hi, Jillian. My question is, I started losing weight June of 2011. I've lost about 75, 80 pounds so far.
Wow, congrats.
Thank you.
That's
I'm very
awesome.
Proud of how far I've come, and I have to say, I'm a huge fan. I appreciate everything you do.
Oh, thank you.
You have enabled me to make my goals, so...
Oh. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
But my question is, you know, I've been incredibly dedicated, clearly.
Okay.
I set this crazy, insane goal for myself at the beginning to work out 365 days straight.
Whoa.
I'm on.
I wouldn't even recommend that.
I know. I was already like well over past the halfway point before people started saying, whoa, crazy, stop.
crazy.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't even recommend that, honey. It's not even good for you.
I am actually on day 339. So at this point, I kind of feel like I might as well just keep on trucking. But So I'm going to hit my goal for that in June.
Okay.
In July, we're going on a family vacation. I have 5 kids and a husband.
Wow. How do you do it? I'm sorry. This is no longer about you. How do you do it?
I'm just a little nutty.
5 kids. How in the hell? Someone needs to give you a medal. My God.
Their ages 12, 10, 6, and I have 4-year-old twins. 12, so.
10, oh, my 6, God, Carrie.
Oh, my God. How do you do it? You are, holy cow. That's impressive. Sorry.
Well,
yeah,
thank you.
Back to you.
Back to the question. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Completely getting off the train of thought.
That was my fault. Go ahead.
That's okay. No, we're going on a family vacation in July, and I want to still be able to continue to eat right. You know, we're going to be gone for a week. I want to eat right. I want to be able to still kind of work out. Obviously, I'm going to loosen up a bit once I hit the 365 days. But I do want to continue on and not lose sight of my whole process and goal and okay. where I'm going with this
right.
without alienating my family completely while we're gone. Now, if you ask my husband, I've already done that.
I was just about to say, I'd imagine that, you know, they're... How have they coped with this shift in you thus far? Do they understand it? Do they appreciate it? Do they resent it?
At first, my husband kind of was like, oh, get fat again, because I think he got a little panicky.
Threatened, sure. That's totally
but
normal.
But now he's really good and into it, and he's fine. And my kids, they're the best for your self-esteem. They're always telling me, oh, Mom, you're looking so skinny. You look so great. And I'll be doing one of your workouts, and they'll say, Mom, you look just as skinny as them. And that's awesome.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
So they've been really motivating, and, you know, they excessively tell me all the time, you look great, you look great.
Okay, I get it. Okay. All right. So in that case, they understand you, and at this point in the game, they're supporting you.
Yes.
All right. Then I wouldn't worry right now about alienating your family. I would more worry about... God, what's the word I'm looking for? Not enjoying your family. Does
right.
that make, it sounds like they get it. You know,
yeah.
I'm not worried about them not getting it. I just don't want you to, like, spend your whole vacation not taking advantage of the fact that it is a vacation. So my first question is, can you be fit? Like, where are you going? Can you be fit with them if you're... Like, if you're going to Hawaii, can you all take a surf lesson?
And well, we're going to be staying in a timeshare, and I'm sure there'll be activities there. You know, it'll be here in the States. It's kind of boring. We're going to a family reunion in Oklahoma. It's not, you know, anything exotic. But I know that we'll have a kitchen. So once we get there, it won't be
right.
huge deal. There's not going to be a lot of... no eating out or anything like
okay,
that.
Okay. Okay. Then here, okay. So if it's something like that, I mean, like if you were going, you know, to Wyoming, I'd say go hiking with your family. If you were going to Hawaii, I'd say take a surf lesson with your family. So just, I only throw that out there. So anybody listening, I can give good takeaway for them who might be doing such a vacation. In this particular situation, I'd say bring some exercise DVDs and do 30 minutes on your computer in your room, and then you're, like, good to go.
Right.
And you can knock it out in the morning. You can knock it out before dinner. Like, you can find 30 minutes and, you know, get your workout in and do it in that environment so you don't need to find a way to travel to a gym. And, you know, or you can go for a jog outside and you can go, they can go with you. But that's what I do. I would incorporate an exercise DVD that doesn't require a bunch of equipment, that's quick and easy. Or not easy, but quick and easy really
Nothing
doesn't,
you do is easy.
Yeah, easy doesn't really go along with my vocabulary. You know, but it doesn't even have to be mine. It could be any exercise DVD that you like, you know, that's fast and efficient for you.
Okay.
And then I would say any activity that you can do with them, do it with them.
Right.
You know, I'm not that familiar with Oklahoma terrain, but, there are websites online that will tell you, like, great hiking trails or great activities in any area that you're in. And I would Google, like, outdoor fitness, Oklahoma.
Okay.
And see what comes up.
It's not my home area. It's my husband's. I'm not familiar with it either. Never been there. So
I know that it gets pretty sunsets. I've seen, like, it's really because it's flat. I had a couple of contestants from there because it's flat. It gets, like, a really okay. interesting sort of sky there. Anyway, that has nothing to do with what you're talking about. Sorry.
That's all right.
So, but another thing, like, this is something that Bob always does, and I admire him for it. He travels all the time, and no matter where he is, like, his Facebook, it annoys the crap out of me. I just love CrossFit New Jersey. Thanks so much. Like, he'll find a gym in his area and do a yoga class, CrossFit uh-huh. class or whatever it might be. So that's also an option and something you could do with your family. But if you're like, no, I really want as much family time as possible, pop in a DVD. It requires no travel. It's quick and easy.
Okay. I know there's a lake there. I don't know what kind of lake activities, but I know that they're...
But that's a great idea. That could be fun. Maybe like canoeing or kayaking. Mm-hmm. That could be great.
Okay.
Give it a shot. And by the way, that's awesome, dude. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Jeez.
I really appreciate everything
kids.
You do.
5 kids and still lost 80 pounds. Tell me, there's no one can ever say it can't be done. If you can do it with five kids.
If you've got the heart to do it, it can
son
be done.
Of a gun. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you very much for your time.
I mean, you're awesome. 5 kids.
Thanks, so are you.
Have a great day, buddy.
Thank you.
Bye, kids.
Carrie.
Five. Cinco. Kidzo.
Yeah, what'd you say? 14, 12,
like 10, 12, two, 6, and 2 fours.
And then twins.
What is this woman made of? She's like the bionic mom.
Yeah.
How the heck?
Well, as she says, she gets a little crazy. She gets a little kooky. No, what'd she say? I'm a little kooky. So I'm sure.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's intense.
Whoa. Has she slept ever?
Probably not since she had their first child.
I mean.
14 years.
Son of a gun. Wow, that's her. All right. Well, you know what I love, though? 5 kids and has lost 80 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, this, like, don't ever tell me. I understand more than ever. It's like, I have kids, I don't have the time. But if this woman can do it, we all can. Man, that's awesome. All right, well, I guess we'll end on that note.
I think that'd be an excellent
I'm happy to end on that note. That was impressive.
Yeah.
I can't top it.
No,
so screw it. Bye. I was walking down Rubber Dove Square. Not a chill to the window, but a nip to the air. From another direction, she was caught in my
listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.